It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We did tell you that Dixville Notch went 3-3. I think that's the most Trump votes he's gotten there in the three times he's run for president. We're going to check in with a bunch of different people throughout the day and the night, and we're live from 6 to 11 p.m. tonight as well. And Brad Card from Card Associates, we have Paul Steinhauser from Fox News, and we have all of our Odyssey correspondents. Channel 3 will have reporters check in with us, so we're going to have you covered. Ozzie Palomo from Troutwell Strategy will join us as well at some point, when he's not big time and it's for Boston TV, but he joins us now on Brian and Company. What's happening?
Brian, I will never big time you, my friend. I'm here for you all night.
What's your schedule? Like, are you going to be doing segments on and off? Or are you doing it with, I don't know who their political folks are now, but are you going to be on set like the whole time, or how does it work?
Yeah, I mean, I think they want me in studio for a few hours, and I think they kind of plug and play you depending on some of the segments, but... it's going to be an interesting night. I think it's going to be a long night. I think it's going to be a long week. But, it's exciting. I mean, it's here. It's just arguably been the longest, shortest year of my life. But, here we are.
I almost feel like even the fun times I've had in the last couple of months, I've been thinking about this day for so long. I feel like so much of my mindset has been put on hold. And, this is like your job, and your job, if people don't know, Ozzie, outside of your family, this takes up like all of your time. And you're not a total siloed guy, because I know you talk to a lot of different people, but I have several questions. The one is just, what's your general sense of things right now in terms of the presidential race?
I think the level of anxiety in my life is through the roof. And I made a comment to my wife that she didn't appreciate that this is the most anxious I've been in the morning since our wedding day.
she's like, why were you anxious on our wedding day?
Exactly. But listen, I think it's going to be tight. I think a lot of people that you talk to today that give you a sense of how it's going to unfold are either not really attuned or lying to you. I think tonight's going to be kind of emblematic of where the country's been, right? We are a 50-50 country. As far as our politics. And I think a lot of it is going to be, showing at the national level tonight. There are scenarios Harris by no means is out of this, right? She certainly has a path. And I think Trump has had enough momentum going into the final week. So, she closed really strong. And it's a presidential race, right? So momentum swings. So yeah, I think if this had gone on another couple of weeks, we would have probably seen a little bit, Harris momentum. But it didn't. So, the question tonight is going to be, are Trump's gains in the early vote enough to kind of potentially thwart massive turnout by women and independents that go to Harris? Or are folks going to be surprised when the mail vote, shows up today for President Trump and makes enough of that delta up? I mean, in Pennsylvania, I think I read a stat that only about 25% of eligible male voters had turned out. 55% planned to vote day of. If you believe the polls as far as what that demographic shift's going to be,
that'd be a big pop.
It'd be a big pop for Trump. If all of a sudden, I just got off the phone with some folks from Georgia. They said, look, by 5 o'clock tonight, we'll know if these lines are long in Democratic precincts. It's going to be really hard for him to hold Georgia. So the two things that I'm looking for tonight, are North Carolina and Georgia. I think if Trump wins those, he's on a good path. I think if he loses one or both, it's going to be a really bad night for him. And then obviously, Pennsylvania is going to come down to kind of a nail biter. So, my gut tells me that there's enough Trump momentum from the last 2 weeks left there for him to kind of pull this out.
Yeah.
But it also wouldn't surprise me. I'm not trying to be, cheeky here by cutting it both ways. It wouldn't surprise me if she pulls a win. I think if she wins, it's in that 274 electoral college count. If he wins, it's in that kind of 287, potentially a little higher count for him. So, yeah. Again, razor thin.
I've talked about it many times in the show of the four scenarios. He wins by a little, he wins by a lot, she wins by a little, she wins by a lot. she wins by a lot is off the table, I think, and the other three are possible, right? She could win by a little, he could win by a little, he could win by a lot. And, you know, I had a couple of questions. We're talking with Ozzie Palomo from Chartwell Strategy here on Brian & Company. I mean, clearly she had a better weekend than he did, but is it enough? Who knows? The two questions I have, first of all, is do you think the early voting numbers pulled people up, or do you think it's indicative of a better outcome if they broke one way or the other? By that, I mean, did people just vote early or did new people vote early?
Right, and I think that's going to be different depending on the state that you're talking about. You know, in my conversation with the Trump campaign a couple of weeks ago, that was the question that I posed to one of their campaign co-managers. Yeah, I said, is the early voting turnout cannibalizing Election Day voters? It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Trump campaign and the RNC felt very comfortable that the election, you know, the early voting numbers they were getting were from low propensity voters that either only voted in presidentials or voted in one of a few presidential elections or never voted at all that supported President Trump. So they felt that the vast majority of that early vote that came in Pennsylvania were low propensity voters that would not have turned out otherwise on Election Day. So they feel like they didn't cannibalize that. The question, I think, for the Harris campaign is if you've had a surge in women voters, particularly, you know, are those supporters, were they just so amped up to vote against Trump that they did it early? You know, and are they cannibalizing Election Day voters? And I think, you know, we'll see that. But I think both parties, obviously Democrats have had a long history of being able to get their vote early. And I think Republicans played a, you know, catch up this go around in a very kind of well manner. You know, just a factoid about Pennsylvania, I think it's been since 1988 that Pennsylvania has been an outlier. It typically tends to follow either Michigan or Wisconsin or vice versa. You know, so if you see a scenario where Trump wins Pennsylvania but not the other two, it would be the first time since 1988 that Pennsylvania does that. So my sense is that there's some correlation between Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and potentially Michigan.
Interesting.
So that was, the early vote is interesting.
That sort of was my next question because, you know, the people I talked to say if Georgia or North Carolina broke for Harris, that's a huge problem for Trump. But if Michigan or Pennsylvania went to Trump, that's game over for her. If I had, and I know you're an equivocator, but if I had to ask you, what's the one state our listeners should look at here for the litmus test tonight, what would that one state be?
I think it's going to be early. It's going to be Georgia. Because, again, I think we'll know results for Georgia and North Carolina tonight. I think North Carolina, I think he's in pretty good shape. You know, I don't expect a surprise there. I mean, the Harris campaign pulled money out of there early to kind of shore up Virginia when things started looking a little soft in the Commonwealth there. But I would keep an eye out tonight on Georgia. The other one will be Nevada. You know, let's see how some of these independent votes break. You know, John Ralston, the pollster, who obviously tends to lean a little bit. He tends to be a little bit of a lean Dem pollster, right? Has a history with Harry Reid. He has it essentially tied. But, you know, the Clark County vote in Las Vegas is going to be, you know, is going to be a big one to keep an eye on as well. And look, I think, you know, on the presidential, look, it's hard to see this being decided by tomorrow morning. You know, it could if it's a Trump's landslide, but I doubt it. I pay attention to some of the House races because that'll start to be kind of indications of where that support is falling. We've got one in Maine with Jerry Golden and Austin Terrio. If Austin Terrio pulls the upset there, I think that's a good sign for Trump moving forward. Some of the New York races are going to be very close. I think if Republicans lose, you know, more than two in New York, that's a bad sign for Trump moving forward. So there's going to be all these little threads you can pull on throughout the evening, but, you know, hold on to your seats.
I mean, when you're talking about the one vote, the one electoral in Nebraska and the one in Maine, you know, the variables, there's so many. We're talking with Ozzie Palomo from Chartwell Strategy here on Brian & Company. You know, any sense of the Senate or the House?
Yeah, I think the Senate is pretty big for Republicans, at least, you know, 51. I do see potentially a four for them at 52. I think West Virginia obviously goes to the Republican side with Jim Justice winning that. My understanding in Montana is that, you know, they had about 54% early vote is already in Montana, which is the highest it's been. Of that 54%, 51% was Republican, which is a good sign for Tim Sheehy, the challenger. So So I think those two seats are safely Republican. The question, again, is in Ohio. I think, you know, leading up to Election Day, Marino was trending a little bit better than when J.D. Vance was running for Senate there. So I do see potentially Marino winning that, which would give the Republicans a 52-seat floor. And then some of the other races are really going to be dependent on how Trump performs. You know, if Trump wins Wisconsin by a point or two, that's probably enough for Eric Hovde to win. Michigan is a little harder to see, I think, for both, but that's another one to keep an eye out. So I think at the very least, you know, if Harris wins, you're going to have split government with a Republican Senate. You know, Trump wins, you could potentially have all three, but, you know, the House, again, is going to be a coin flip, you know, going into the weekend.
Jeez. Oh, man. So you don't think we're going to know until when?
But again, if we're talking landslide and there's a lot of surprises in close states,
that'll be all of a sudden. But what is your gut overall? Without equivalent, like, what does your instinct tell you?
I think we will know by Saturday when Pennsylvania certifies and starts counting votes.
Got it. Ozzie, you're the best. I appreciate it. We'll maybe check in with you tonight.
Absolutely. I'll be there fully caffeinated and
ready to roll.
Yeah. I don't know if I can say this on your show, but I've got about 9 tins of Zins waiting for the evening. So.
No, you can say that on our show. We're fully. Are they tens?
They're threes just to pace myself.
Okay. So. All right. Yeah. Ozzie, that's great. Say hi to TJ and the crew. Appreciate it.
Will do. Take care. Right. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.